This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Can City expect to be cosy at the Cottage, or will Marco's men end the Blues' hope of silverware? It's Thursday, the 9th of May. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Joe Butterfield.
I'm Ollie Kirsch.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
Comes here for Gundogan! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back, listeners. Here we are again. Obviously, no midweek football. Ollie, how's it treating you? Because I've just been on a hike. It's Wednesday, it's Champions League semi-final day, and I've just been out hiking.
I don't know how I feel. It's one of those where the grass is always greener on the other side, isn't it? When we've got the games coming thick and fast in the midweek, and you're just thinking, like, I'm stressed about City twice a week, three times a week. But then when we've got no games, I'm looking at FotMob just looking down whatever fixtures are on every night, just like
Peterborough, Oxford. Come on.
I know. And yeah, I need some football and I need some City. So yeah, it's a bit of grass is greener, but ultimately I think it's the fact that we don't have any football midweek is serving us well and will continue to do so until the end of the season.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that a little bit later on. But Joe, have you got any leisure activity tips to just sort of pass the time? Because look, I mean, it's weird. This is totally unusual for City because I think it's 2019, the last time we were in this part of the season and there wasn't a Champions League run, and obviously then the sort of the rearranged games, etc., etc. So it is kind of unusual for us. So you tell me, how do I spend my time the next sort of couple of weeks?
Do what I'm doing, just download Football Manager and just you sorted. Like that's your evening's taken up right off the bat. Yeah, it is. It's this end, like you say, this end of the season, because obviously at the start of the season you only have one game a week, and it's kind of like the norm for a little bit. Then Christmas comes, and that two game, like, well, the Champions League comes round, and then followed by the Christmas period, and two games a week becomes like standard for that point. Then you get to around sort of, you know, Feb, March, and it gets a little bit more. Weeks open up a bit more, but like you say, we're always in the Champions League race at this point, or we have been for the last few years anyway. So this bit normally feels like it's still in that, you know, twice, like, you know, weekend, midweek. And as Ollie says, it just means that you end up just so stressed all week long. Like, you've got a game constantly on the horizon. And yeah, I think he's absolutely spot on in that, like, you know, given the situation that we're currently in, and given maybe form is obviously not something to be questioned, but maybe some of the recent performances that we've had, like, you know, maybe it's just nice that the players can just have this. I think, was it early that we saw that Pep's given the players 3 days off instead of the usual two this week?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that can hopefully only benefit the players, giving them that little bit of extra rest, given that the next week after this we will have a midweek fixture. Like, three games in a week needs a bit of a run up to it. So yeah, at this stage of the season, I'm actually very glad to only have one game a week. I really just want to keep it, you know, as simple as possible. Like, Premier League games and nothing else, please. But yeah, it does feel at least the Champions League fixtures are somewhat interesting anyway, so we can still, you know, have something to watch, even if it's not City.
Yeah, that's totally correct. I'm glad you brought up the 3 days rest, because I was going to ask Ollie, and I mean, you can take this question, but that's a lot of time, isn't it? You know, usually we're speaking about 3 days in between games, but the players have just had ahead of what we now, Fulham, Spurs, West Ham, United, the final four games of the season, they've just had what they can only describe as sort of a rare commodity at this time of the season. And we say it tongue-in-cheek, or it would be great to have City on, but this is fantastic for City's title race, and obviously FA Cup hopes as well, isn't it? The fact that the manager's just granted them the best part of a week off following the win at the weekend.
Yeah, it's good for Rodri's knees and the sandbags under his eyes. Yeah, and it's funny how quickly it's come around, isn't it? Because we played Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final less than 72 hours after the full-time whistle went against Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. We've gone from one extreme to the other. It can only help. I know that when we're in the middle of it and we're playing every 3 days, we like to say, and even Pep likes to say, you know, the momentum's good, the momentum's important. I think that's psychological to an extent. Yes, it is nice to get into the rhythm of winning every 3 days, but it does start to grind the players down. And we saw that against Chelsea. Yes, we came out winners in the end, but there were some leggy legs in that game. There you go, leggy legs, new one. So, yeah, it's not good for us because we do have less City. It is good for our hairlines because we do have less City. But it's ultimately, I think it's just a good thing for the players, and we can go into almost every fixture, you know, bar Spurs, with a full set of batteries, fully charged batteries. And, you know, there are no excuses, effectively. Mm. We've had the rest. Most of the players are fit or almost fit, and we've got time to prepare from a tactical perspective, a physical perspective. So what more can they ask for now to go ahead and go and win that double?
Did Gary Neville call weekends like mini holidays,
mini retirement,
mini vacations?
It was as he's getting older and he's going on more. What, funnily enough, we discussed the other week, we would dub city breaks, or, you know, sort of short vacations.
He calls them mini retirements.
He called them mini retirement.
Yeah, that's what Pep's giving the players. You know, Rodri, your career's over for 3 days. Like, you know, just enjoy retirement. By the way, back in training on Wednesday, please.
He's the sort of guy who would just rock up at five-a-side power league or something and just play for the sake of it.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be surprised if he's sort of floating about the teams on a Wednesday night at five-a-side. But speaking of sort of leisure activities, I don't know if you saw, Joe, but Fulham were training ahead of the game at the weekend by flying kites in the training ground, which, as you can imagine, had the exact reaction you'd expect from Arsenal supporters. And I think it was like a 2-minute clip at the end of training or something like that. You know, it wasn't like they spent hours doing extreme frisbee and kite flying and whatnot. But it kind of opens up an interesting question, I guess, of, is it better that City's running now? You'd expect, possibly sort of barring a mini Aston Villa collapse, is going to be against three teams who have nothing to play for. That's obviously an asterisk next to Spurs, depending on what happens there. Is that helpful, or does it throw up a different kind of problem for City to deal with?
I believe that it absolutely is helpful. I don't think anybody can make the argument that Spurs, with Champions League football on the line, you know, if we go into that Spurs game with them, you know, within, say, 2 points of Aston Villa with a game in hand, like, that's not mathematically possible, I don't think. But let's just say, for argument's sake, hypothetically, that is the case. Spurs needing that win to go into a position where they can, where the Champions League football is in their hands, playing against that Spurs is totally different to playing against the Spurs that are 7 points off, cannot get Champions League football in any circumstance, and will finish fifth at the end of the season no matter what. Like, they just have, at that point, nothing competitive, like in league finish terms. They have nothing to play for. I think we've kind of discussed in the group chat, obviously the lack of, there'll be very little enthusiasm from the Spurs fans for Spurs to win in that situation, because obviously them beating us pretty much hands Arsenal the title at that point. But I don't think that necessarily translates to the players, as long as the players have something to play for. So I think realistically what we need is for Spurs to drop points this weekend in some form, so that we're going into dead rubber Spurs from their point of view, rather than Spurs that, you know, could potentially be looking at, like you say, Aston Villa lose, Spurs win, and then we could be in a position where that Spurs are absolutely fighting for Champions League football, because the players want to play Champions League football. Like the fans might, I personally wouldn't if I was a Spurs fan, but the fans might be willing to sacrifice Champions League football for a Manchester for Arsenal to not win the title, but the players definitely won't. The players won't care. So I absolutely think that having three teams coming up that potentially could have pretty much nothing to play for between them is definitely a big bonus for City on the fixtures front.
Joe, you're not bitter enough, mate. You're not bitter enough. I would sacrifice a City treble for Man United to not win the League One championship. Just for some perspective here.
Oh my God.
Funnily enough, when I was in London a couple of weeks ago, I was sat with a Spurs fan, and
deepest condolences.
He did me proud as a fellow Bert. I asked him the question. I said, if it's between Champions League football or Arsenal winning the title, he said, all day, lose to City, don't care. He said, firstly, we're not ready for Champions League football anyway, which is an interesting take. But he did, he meant it. He, hand on heart, said that he would sooner see Arsenal not win the league and Spurs drop out of the Champions League than the other way around. Also, just looking at the table, it's going to be very difficult for Spurs to move out of fifth place now. Yeah. Villa, because of the goal difference, reckon? Effectively needs... Yeah, Villa, but Villa, because of the goal,
I'll just,
goal I'll difference.
I'll just tell you that this weekend Spurs play, I think it's Burnley at home, and Villa have got Liverpool at home. So, you know, we had a similar discussion, didn't we, after the Wolves game, where City could do with a plus four game against... You know, you could theoretically see Spurs bagging four, and Villa going into that game sort of very much needing a result.
It's possible, of course. It is mathematically possible, and it is possible until it's possible. But the maths is so far out of Spurs' favour. Villa need 2 points from six because of the goal difference. One win otherwise would do it. And that's for Spurs to win three as well. And Spurs just aren't very good at the moment. Of course, they'll turn into prime AC Milan against us, no doubt, if they've got something on the line. But they are not... You know, we're talking about Manchester City maybe not going 3 out of 3, rather. Then why do we think Spurs can? They also don't have easy fixtures, and they have us. It's just not likely. And the bookies odds will tell you everything with that. I've not checked, but I'm sure they've got them as quite a long shot to get over that line and so forth. So, yeah, the best thing we can hope for is that they're mathematically out of it by the time we play them. Even if they're not, I don't think the fans will be particularly upset if they lose. And if they are out of that top four race by the time we play them, there will be 60,000 people belting out Blue Moon at the Spurs Stadium.
Does that matter, though?
Well, like, that's next week. I think we need to sort of possibly look ahead to this weekend. I mean, 100%, I guess we'll continue the conversation next week, Joe. But quickly, before we go off to this break, Fulham isn't an easy game. I mean, it's not going to be, I don't know, Galatasaray in the Champions League. They're not going to be having flares and welcome to hell banners draped across the Thames End or whatever it's called. But, you know, at 12:30 kickoff, it brings its own issues, doesn't it, that City will have to contend with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think no team really likes kicking off at 12:30. It seems to be like a pretty sort of unanimous... I mean, Jurgen Klopp certainly doesn't like kicking off at 12:30, which is always funny that this is the price you pay for BT/TNT Sports absolutely loving you. I think I think players don't really enjoy it, and I don't know, but then that would surely be the same for both teams. But on the other hand, it is nice to go into a weekend knowing that if we win a game, it's actually us who, you know, Arsenal have to respond to that rather than vice versa, as it's been for the last few weeks. I can't
remember. Not great if we don't, though.
Not obviously. If we don't, then it's the perfect fuel for Arsenal to go and slap whoever it is that they're playing against. Like, it's United, isn't it? Oh my God! Right. Well, in that case, then you don't need any more motivation than that anyway. But I think, you know, I can't remember. There's one title race that we had. I can't remember which one it was. It might have even been the 18-19 one. But it felt like we played second for most of that running, and it's felt like that over the, I don't know if it's just recency bias because of the last few weeks and us having a game in hand the whole time as well, but it has felt like for the last few Premier League kickoffs that we've played after Arsenal. So it'd be good to see if we do pick up the win on the early kickoff on Saturday, it'd be good to see how that, obviously Arsenal are very much helped by the fact that they're playing against this current Manchester United side, given what's just happened to them on Monday night. But I think,
do they have any hope?
Realistically, no. But I think it would be good to see if they look nervy, like if you can see that the pressure kind of shows in their performance. Like, even if United are bad, like Arsenal can still look like they're sort of not coping very well with the nerves and the pressure of the occasion. So yeah, I'm just kind of interested to see how that plays out. But obviously that requires City to then win their game first. But I'm really, you know, hoping that, because as we've just talked about, like if we're talking about Spurs potentially have nothing to play for, then, you know, what Fulham got? Like, Fulham have just got the difference between 13th and 11th to play for. Like, it's not that big of a deal, is it really?
I know. It is sort of intriguing this time of year when you get fixtures against teams. Because, look, United have something to play for. They're still pushing for Europe. And if Erik ten Hag isn't out of a job already, by God, he definitely will be if United don't qualify for Europe at all. Obviously, the caveat being they can still qualify with a win against City in the FA Cup final. But Ollie, I wanted to just quickly sort of touch on City's, because we'll have, obviously, the Friday episode will be sort of that in-depth focus. How does City set up? Who plays, etc., etc.? But just quickly, does City need a 4-0 win to cut that goal difference, do you think, going into that game against United for Arsenal? Because, look, everyone expects Arsenal to win it, but at the same time, if the goal difference is down to, I don't know, just two goals or three goals going into that game, might make Arsenal play a little bit more expansive, might make them a little bit more open. United, funnily enough, if they've got anything going for them, it's the fact that they do have some decent attackers, decent sort of in inverted commas there. So do you think City need to go down into West London and slap them 5-0, set a tempo, or are we just at that stage now where it doesn't matter what the goals are, it matters what the points are?
Are we assuming it's going to go down to goal difference because we're going to draw at Spurs?
Well, assume if you want. Yeah, you can assume if you want. But
because that's the only way goal difference comes into play. If we draw a game, we have to draw a game.
Or West Ham, yeah. Or West Ham.
Yeah. Which means that we'd be six behind. So the requirement is very simple.
For example, City do draw against Spurs, having that goal difference, even though they would have dropped points, City being top of the table heading into the final day, whoever's top of the table, I think, is an immediate win psychologically.
No, I'm not really thinking about that too much at this point, to be honest, because I think on the final day, both teams will win, assuming that the title is still on the line. It generally does happen. We've seen it in 11-12 between City and United, 13-14, City and Liverpool. I think every year we've gone to the final day with the title on the line, both teams have won. Liverpool did struggle. We struggled a couple of years ago, us versus Villa, Liverpool versus Wolves. Both teams got over the line. The ask is very, very straightforward. If we are going to draw a game, that means over the course of two games, we have to have a goal differential of 7. Give Arsenal a 2-0 win and a 3-0 win, that means we've got to score 12 and not concede. The ask is huge.
Are you writing off then in that sense?
It's going to be extremely difficult. The only thing I would say we have going for us in that regard is every single season, without fail, City will have a couple of freak results where we absolutely bank a team. 6, you know, 6-1, 6-0, 5-0. We've not had many of them at all this season. Mm-hmm. Have we had a 5-0 yet at all?
Bournemouth, I remember, because Doku got five goal contributions on his own. I think that was that 6-1, something like that.
The only thing I'd say is that we've not really had any of those games, not had many of them at all this season, where usually we do, and that's usually why.
5-1 at the weekend, which, to be fair, that was fairly hefty.
But why we often end up top of that goal scoring and goal difference chart is because we have a number of those games. Aguero used to bag 4 or 5, Haaland bagged 3, 4. So, yeah, it's very, 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 very difficult for us to pull back the goal difference, but it's possible. It's just going to take a couple of monster results, whichever two teams those monster results come up against. I would rather we go 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 and get there on points.
Yeah, I think it's basically impossible on goal difference, to be honest. I think given looking ahead to this weekend and... I just can't get over Arsenal just like playing against United this weekend. Like, I just think, I know that earlier, like when we were looking at those sort of fixtures when they had like 7 or 8 left to play, I think we were all kind of looking at Spurs or United, given that at the time United had just like managed to get a draw out of Liverpool, thinking, oh, hang on a second, like maybe there is a chance that Old Trafford like is where they drop some points. But now, like having seen the last couple of weeks of Manchester United, like there is just no hope. I think Arsenal will do well to score less than 5 at Old Trafford. And I think that with that being the case, like Ollie's saying there, like even just like giving them a 2-0 and a 3-0 in the two games, we'd have to score 12 to better that. I think realistically we'll have to score like 17 or 18 to better what Arsenal will do in their next two games. And I just don't see, like,
You don't see an 11-0 win then?
I don't. Strangely enough, but I do think...
Huddersfield, where are you when we need you?
Watford, that'd be amazing. Get them back in. I think, I just think that we did see last weekend though in the game, with obviously the big win with Haaland getting 4 goals. I do think... Maybe it could just be because we won and we actually got the goals, but it feels like the team are starting to, that it was very ruthless. Like there wasn't a lot of, there was the sort of 10, 15 minutes when a couple of big players got brought off where it felt like it lulled a little bit, but it didn't feel like the intent to score ever really stopped. Like, when we pick up like a 3 or 4 nil lead and then it's kind of just like cruise control from that point on. I think it feels like the team were very much in the case of like, right, we can rack up some goal difference here. And I'm hoping that if we do get an early couple of goals at Fulham, for example, then hopefully a lot of players will start to see, particularly Haaland, like after last weekend, he's going to want to keep that going and sort of extend that that golden boot lead. I think that hopefully we'll see the team think, if we get 1 or 2, think, right, why not get 4, 5, 6? And then from there, who knows what can happen.
Just one more thing. I think we've got a bit of negative bias here and maybe a touch of pessimism about Arsenal at Old Trafford, which is logical. That is logically what we should expect. But I've passively seen on Arsenal Twitter that they seem to have the same issue that we have going to Anfield or going to Spurs.
They've not won there since
Arsenal's
for years.
Arsenal's record is really poor at Old Trafford.
Last time they won there, or something stupid like that. It's been
is that with
something
fans?
Like that.
I think they won. Yeah, I think they won in COVID, similar to City
at Anfield.
Anfield. While you ramble, Ollie, I'll pull it up and I'll do our due diligence and get the actual.
There's not that much rambling. You know, top and bottom.
Just
from the Arsenal
United
perspective.
This United.
The Arsenal perspective is that Arsenal at Old Trafford breaks footballing logic in the same way that City at Spurs breaks footballing logic. That is the way that they're looking at it, which we've seen it with ourselves. That can be a saving grace for us. It can be a fucking nightmare for them because the last thing you want to do, second to last game of the season, is to go to a ground where you have that, what did we call it? And it was the name of the rock formations in Utah. Hoodoo. The hoodoos. Yeah, Arsenal have that hoodoo at Old Trafford.
Yeah, imagine
so,
having to go to a ground you
we'll
got
see, maybe,
the
maybe.
Maybe the season. That could never be us.
Maybe they'll have those same heebie-jeebies that we've experienced at away grounds, even when it just does not work with the logic, considering the gap in quality between the two sides. Sometimes shit just happens at these grounds. So Arsenal fans aren't as optimistic as we would think they are.
Mm. Liverpool title win, anyone? They can finish on 84 points if City and Arsenal just completely shit the bed from here on in. Maybe. I know, I'm joking. No, it's possible. It feels like these next three games for City, for Arsenal, and then City again against Spurs are going to be where the title's decided, because I kind of agree. I think both teams will win on the final day, unless, of course, there is drop points, which would then make a very, very exciting final day. That'll do for part one. Join us in part two.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. You are four episodes deep, into the week. We'll have one more for you tomorrow, so make sure you're tuned out for that. Like I said, more of a tactical breakdown of City's trip to Fulham. I know there's been a lot of Spurs and there's been a lot of Arsenal chat going on, so stay tuned for that one tomorrow. Guys, we're going to finish off this episode with a little bit of trivia. And given it's been Champions League semi-final week and City aren't involved, I thought, why not just throw some Champions League action in for the listeners? And hopefully we can conjure up some nostalgic memories, because this is your task. Ollie, you're going up against Joe. Joe, you're going up against Ollie. You're going to take it in turns to name one of the Champions League final venues since the reformation of the competition in 1992. So wherever the Champions League final was held, you're going to take it in turns, one, two, etc., etc. The first person to get one wrong loses the game. Simple as. Do we both understand?
We do.
Yeah, but if I'd have known there was trivia on this episode, I would have made way for Andrew Detmer.
You can make a late sub if you want.
You can do very well with these, but go for it.
Yeah, it should be funny. So basically, you're looking for venues, stadiums, I'll accept both, a city or the name of the stadium where a Champions League final was held. Ollie, considering you've obviously conceded your lesser knowledge, and I think, you know, based off previous quizzes, that's fair to say, I'll let you go first and you can have the pick of the bunch.
Atatürk Stadium, Istanbul.
Correct. Who won it there? I can't remember.
Not sure. That night in Istanbul.
Yeah. Joe?
I'm glad he said that, because I can't remember the name of the stadium. I just refer to it as Istanbul. I'll go for an easy one, Wembley.
Wembley Stadium, yes, obviously not yet hosted this year's tournament, but it has done twice since the reformation. Barcelona, obviously, fond memories for Pep Guardiola. Ollie?
Estadio do Dragão in Porto.
Nice. Who didn't win that one? Is the question we're asking here. Is this where your knowledge of Champions League final venues finishes?
No. I thought I'd try and make it a little bit harder for Joe by getting those two out of the way.
Yeah, nice pronunciation, mind. Obviously, in Porto, Chelsea beating City in 2021. Joe?
San Siro.
San Siro is correct. Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid in 2015-16. Ollie? I feel like the FA Cup draw person who's reading out the teams. It's quite fun.
I actually don't know the name of the stadium, but Moscow.
Moscow will take it. Luzhinsky Stadium, 2008, obviously another final involving a Manchester team and Chelsea. Chelsea losing this one against Man United. Joe, it goes without saying, but no repeats, obviously. Yeah. 2005 Atatürk will not count.
This might make me lose, but I'm pretty sure that it was Champions League final worthy once upon a time. Old Trafford.
Correct.
Was that Milan Juventus?
When was that?
It was Milan Juventus 2002-03. Wow. I think I might be wrong in saying this. Certainly in the sort of the Champions League era, not European Cup. I think it was the only Champions League final. I'm just looking through it. I think it is the only European Cup final. Oh no, sorry, there's another one to finish 0-0. So there was no goals at all.
I was a kid at the time. I remember being like allowed. Having been sent to bed, being allowed to come down and watch the penalties because I can't actually remember who won in my mind. It wasn't Juventus, obviously, because they've never won.
Oh no, sorry, Milan.
Yeah.
I think. In fact, it's not telling me. Milan won the penalty shootout, of course. Yeah. Anyway, nice. Well done, Ollie.
Yeah.
Sorry, you cut out a little bit there. I'm going to go for the Olympiastadion in Berlin.
Nice. One of my favourite stadiums. 2015, Barcelona, Juventus. Joe?
Sticking with a similar theme, the Stadio Olimpico in Rome.
Another one of my favourite stadiums. Yeah, this is going well. Another United defeat as well against Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. Tell you what, we're working well.
This one's risky, but it just makes so much sense. In Munich, the Allianz.
Correct. That's what, another Chelsea game, this time when they won against Bayern Munich, 2012. Another fantastic stadium. Joe?
Again, another one that feels like it should have had one. The Nou Camp.
The Nou Camp. Correct. 1999. far too many Man United finals being mentioned there. Ollie, it's back over to you.
I'll go the other side of Spain. Madrid.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Inter Milan versus Bayern Munich 2010, I think. Jeff?
This is where we start getting into difficult.
There is not that many left.
Yeah.
Because there has been quite a couple repeats. There's a few, don't get me wrong, but there's not that many left.
This one feels, I could be way off with this one. And I don't know the name of this. I don't know which day. Was the one in Cardiff? Was it in Cardiff at any point?
Correct.
Yeah.
Millennium Correct. Stadium. Yeah. Shout.
Real Madrid Juventus. I want to say 2017. Yeah, Real Madrid 4-1 against Juventus.
Because obviously Gareth Bale
coming
to win it in Wales was a whole big thing at the time.
Mm. Lovely narrative. Ollie?
What year is this since?
1992.
I'm going to say one, but I'm going to acknowledge I think it was before 92, but I think there was one in Glasgow. Is it Hampden Park?
There was one in Glasgow. It was Hampden Park. But it was after 1992, so he's still alive. Real Madrid versus Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, nice.
And here he is.
Yeah, we'll take it.
2001-02. Joe?
We'll take it.
Oh, again, I don't know the name of the stadium, but it obviously wasn't the... I'm sure it obviously wasn't... Was it the... It can't have been the Atatürk Stadium when Liverpool won it, but it was Istanbul. I'm going to go for a stadium I do know. And hope that it's right. The Estadio de Luz in Lisbon, has that done it?
Correct. Correct, yeah. Estadio de Luz was where they did the... There's been two. They did the COVID season there, and they also had the Real Madrid versus Atletico first final, 2014.
I will go with the Vicente Calderon in Madrid.
Oh, and it ends there. It ends there. Oh. Unfortunately, this is annoying. If you'd have gone Atletico's new stadium,
with the Wonder,
the Metropolitano, right, yeah. You'd have had it. The Wonder, spot on, but unfortunately,
that's well annoying.
What was the Istanbul one in 2004? What was that one? Or 2005.
It was the Atatürk. Did it? It was the same stadium.
Oh, was it? Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you were saying that, I was thinking, oh God, do you go for it? I'll quickly then, I'll fire off the ones we haven't said. 1992 Olympia Stadion in Munich instead of Berlin. The Olympic Stadium in Athens. Ernst Happel Stadium in Vienna, Austria. There was so you can tell when they changed sort of the glitz and the glam stadiums because there were some dodgy ones. Amsterdam Arena in Amsterdam, of course. Stade de France, that had two games, that had two finals.
Oh,
I would have been very impressed if anyone got this, but the Alf Schalke Arena in Gelsenkirchen, home of Schalke 04, of course. And I think that was all of them. The Olympic Stadium in Kiev was the only other one from the last sort of 15 years that didn't get picked. But I think we did ourselves proud there. So well done, Ollie. Gave a good effort.
Thank you, bro. Better than I've done in the past.
True. Joe, congratulations. You take another City Report podcast crown. You'll be the bookies' favourite heading into this summer John Stones Paint Trophy, which you're a new entry, but you might be rocketing to the top of the charts.
Look, we're all winners here. It's all about the taking part.
yes, sure. That message is certainly endorsed. Listeners, thank you. You're the real winner for picking the City Report podcast. But until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.